That was beautiful. Thank you, Paige. Thank you to everyone who has served today. It is so good to be together. I feel physically restrained. But don't worry, I will not be spiritually restrained. All right, let's get it. Good morning. Merry Christmas Eve to you. My name is Tim. If you're visiting here today, I serve as the senior pastor here alongside a great team. And we're continuing in a series that started at the start of December. And today is, everyone say, listen to what I say. And Paige, have you sung that every week? Thank you. We really appreciate you doing that because we know that... You know, people hear things differently, don't they? Yep. And people learn differently, and different avenues or mediums of communication get across to people in different ways. I want to say to you that today, if you're coming in joyful for Christmas, then join with Jesus in his joy through the Holy Spirit and be joyful. And if you're coming into Christmas hurting, then Jesus is the answer to your pain.
Amen.
And he will minister to you and the truth of what he's done. We recognize his birth at Christmas, but he lived, died, and rose again, which gives hope to all of mankind. Everyone through Jesus is invited to recognize this, and that would be our prayer for you today. Hey, please stick around for coffee and morning tea with us because we love to connect together. You know, with God and with each other today. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas to you and your family from mine. We have a lot of family, like we're taking up the front two rows. So all the troubles going to come from the front. Pray for me. It'll be good. But hey, I don't know about you. There are so many milestones near to Christmas. And part of me is like, what were people thinking? Why there's so many birthdays near Christmas? But there are. And it's awesome to celebrate. And I need to celebrate a couple. I know this is kind of dangerous. You know, I want to start with, actually. It is Barry and Jane's 50th wedding anniversary. Let's give them a round of applause. Wonderful. Our drummer, Zach, turned 18 on Thursday. I'm going to keep going. It is... Carolyn McDonald, who is on our staff. She's also a teacher at King's and just an amazing person. She is 40 today, which is awesome. Rich Pritchard turned 50 in the last couple of days. Come on, Rich. I know that actually both my sister-in-laws had birthdays in the last couple of weeks. And I just wonder, like, I might have missed someone and I'm really sorry, but put your hand up if it's your birthday. Anyone? I might have missed something. And, you know, there is the reality that pastors need your prayers, especially when they drop the ball with their mother-in-law's birthday. And don't worry, gave her a gift, but it is my mother-in-law Gail's 80th birthday. No, it's not her 80th. Happy birthday to my mother-in-law, which is probably the most important thing that I will say today. Dodged a bullet there. All right, so I want to reiterate this series again. Our hope is that you would see the person of Jesus afresh or for the first time in what we invite you into. And we've been in these services and had a family service and we've had baptisms already, and I'm so excited to say we have one at the end of our service today. But we're a part of the carols on the Civic Green with just, I don't know how many people, but it was full. So whatever many people that is, hearing about Jesus. And we have presented that as, do you see what I see? Can you see the birth and risen Savior of the world? Do you hear what I hear? How do we help people to hear is what I want to talk about today. Do you know what I know? Has the knowledge of the person of Jesus, who is God incarnate, it's the incursion of the kingdom of God into the world to transform it, because he made it perfect, sin broke it, but it's his plan to redeem it. Amen? And then today is listen to what I say. Listening is an interesting science, isn't it? And there are some interesting situations when something is said and people hear different things. We got to start with some funny things, so let's go. Thank you, Fleur. Let's go to the next one. My toddler was about to hit her head on a bar at the playground, so I told her to duck. She quacked at me and then hit her head. I got four of these. Next one. Seven-year-old, I'm done with homework. Me, you did it. Seven, that's not what I said. Cool. All right, I think some teenagers might use that. As a kid, I remember going to the doctor and he said to me, how's your stool? And I patiently told him we had chairs and they were all fine. Moving on. This reminds me of the mother who, while reversing out of a car space, asked her son, is there any cars coming? Grammatically, are there any cars coming? To which he replied, no. Then after a slight pause, but there is a truck. Our clarity of communication matters, doesn't it? And people hearing matters. But if we grow an understanding of a person by actually listening to that person, then it can really help us communicate to them in such a way that they might hear it. Now, there is a game which I think some people know as telephone. Most people, I think, still know it as Chinese whispers. And I thought, we definitely need to play this game. So, I need Hamish, I need Zach, I need Elliot, I need one more person. Lucas, do you want to, how do you feel? Do you want to come up? All right. Can you guys come up and stand up here? And Elliot, I want you to come over here and grab this. Thank you. And then Lucas, do you want to grab that one? Hold it facing forward. Beautiful. And then everyone say, hey, Zach, you're looking so manly. You got your peas. Ha! Oh. All right. And then Hamish, can you come and jump in the gap, please, buddy? Hamish always stands in the gap. He's awesome. Making coffee. That's a good thing, by the way, when I say that. All right. This is my brother-in-law, Matt. You are going to be people everywhere. All right. Is that cool? You got it? I just wonder. Yeah, we can make this work. We'll get you to. All right. Now, just to make this fun, I need four more people just to make it a bit more interesting. So first four people. All right. AJ, come up here. Oh, hang on. Hey. Well, I'll grab AJ. Anyone who has had a birthday and is willing to come up here, come on up. Come on. Come on. Where's Carolyn? Rich doesn't want to. Oh, hey, mate, you only turned 50 once. Come on, come on, come on. Carolyn's coming. And that'll make it, right? All right. So if you remember how this works. G'day, Mum. Come on, mate. All right. Now, I need you to stand after Hamish, please. And Carolyn is there. Wonderful. That's going to work really well. Now, Elliot, I'm going to say something to you and you're going to repeat it quietly for no one else to hear to Lucas and then to Austin and then to Hamish and then to Gail and then to Zach and then to Carolyn. And man, I'm glad I chose people who I know all your names really well, but it's good. All right. Now, I wrote something very Christmassy, super, super spiritual. All right. Hang on a minute. What did I say? All right.
Shush. This is my son, by the way. If you're like, that guy is really close to that kid. It's good. This is the point. Whatever you get, next. Get real close. Shh.
Hang on a minute. With the way the song goes, Hamish and Zach, you need to swap. Can you swap spots? I just swap signs. That works. Go. All right. Good. Gail, move that way. All right. Now, did you get anything? No, I don't think he did either. But here's the thing. You and Hamish are the mighty king that has a message that's going to transform all of mankind and give them hope and joy and life for all eternity. And that message is...
The smoke's in the bin.
The smoke is in the bin. All right. Firstly, let me tell you what I said. To glaze a Christmas ham, you need orange marmalade, rosemary, and cinnamon. Which turned out to be the smoke is in the bin. And Carolyn, I wonder, Fleur, if we can go to that next slide. Carolyn, would you please read the actual message that is supposed to go out to the people?
I said the king to the people everywhere. Listen to what I say. Pray for peace, people everywhere. Listen to what I say. The child sleeping in the night. He will bring us goodness and light. He will bring us goodness and light.
Amen, amen. Can you give these guys a round of applause? You can jump down. Well done. Thank you. You can be a little lamb. That makes sense. We all know Zach wants to be a mighty king. No, it's Hamish. Hamish is the mighty king. All right, listen to what I say. Hey, that's a great thing to pray at this time of year. Pray for peace, people everywhere. Listen to what I say. The child sleeping in the night, he will bring us goodness and light. He will bring us goodness and light. Listen to what I say. The best way to get someone to listen to you is to listen to them. Yes? How often do we think the best way to get someone to listen to me is to sit them down and say, you must listen to me? But actually, listening is a secret weapon. I want to relate straight to the life of Jesus. He had the most important things to say. After all, he is the way, the truth, and the life. But actually, if we look at his life and ministry, he listened the best. This is a gift that keeps on giving. He listened the best and he asked the best questions. I did a whole bunch of reading on this and there were some thoughts that other pastors had and I included some of them and I included some of my own. But I want to look at 7 illustrations around how Jesus listened. So the heading will be up on the screen for you. Let's jump off. Everyone say number one. Jesus listened to the perspective of others. I'm going to give you an example in Luke 24, 17 to 20, which won't be up there, but I just want to tell you the story. Why did Jesus listen to the perspective of others? Well, he did it to reveal himself and the good news of why he had come. But he listened to their perspective in order to understand what was important to them, what they valued. And so I don't know if you know, but in Luke 24, this is just after the events of Easter happened, you have 2 disciples, Cleopas and possibly Peter, who are walking down the road. And obviously they are forlorn. This is called the Emmaus Road. Walking on this road, recounting to each other the events that had just happened, because the person who was supposed to save and transform the whole world and bring about the kingdom of God and save God's people had just died on a cross. And they didn't know that actually Jesus was alive. And you might think, well, in kindness, if you show up as the savior of the world who has come back to life and you see your friends who are forlorn, the first thing you might say, I'm him. But actually what he does, and it's this really powerful story, go and read it, Luke 24. He walks with them and he listens to them. And they can't believe, they can't see exactly who he is yet, but they can't believe that he doesn't know what just happened in Jerusalem. It's like the center of the world at the time, and these events, we know historically, are the center of all kind of eternity to come, right?
And so he's there listening to them. And he listens all the way on the road. This is God listening to people who are discouraged, who are sad, who are scared, who are confused. And it's not until he gets right to the town, they sit down, they break bread, and Jesus prays, and their eyes are open to who he is. How patient is Jesus in listening and walking with us, with others, until he reveals, like, I guess, what is the burning truth? And we have that in us. If we're in Jesus, we know the good news, but sometimes we got to start just by listening, right? Number one, Jesus listened to the perspective of others. Number two, Jesus didn't listen just to criticize. Sometimes I think, and in this world, you know, you're like, let's just look at social media as like a case study. Listening is like reading someone's comment. You read the comment in order to go, how am I going to blow them out of the water? But that is not a good listening strategy or a good connecting strategy with a person. You need to listen in order to understand, not to criticize. In John 2, we see this reality. It's a miracle that Jesus did, turning water into wine. Do you know that miracle? It's pretty profound, right? John 2, 3-9 says this. On the third day, a wedding took place in Cana in Galilee. And Jesus' mum was there. And Jesus, this is Mary, Jesus and his disciples had also been invited along to the wedding. Weddings go for a couple of days in this historical context, time and culture, right? When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. And Jesus responds like this, and you might go, oh, he's kind of criticizing her. But actually he says, woman, which is not a good way to relate to your mum, but you are Lord. Woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my hour has not yet come. The hour to reveal himself has not yet come. But instead of his mum going, oh, okay, what does she say? She takes a, like, this is a really big step of faith. She actually says to the servants, do whatever he tells you. And Jesus himself responds, not in criticizing, even though we might see that. This was an inconvenient time and request, but he sees the urgency and the faith in it, and he does what he's being asked to do. So number two, Jesus didn't listen just to criticize. Number three, Jesus listened and spoke to the wrong people. Again, I want to paraphrase. It's a beautiful story in John chapter 4. And I want to encourage you. I thought about this. Who knows the show The Chosen? Do you know that show? I would really encourage you, if the Bible doesn't seem alive to you, then maybe even just go to this one. Look up Woman at the Well, The Chosen. Watch that. And then go and read that same story in John chapter 4. And I would encourage you, anytime you watch it, always go to the Bible, because there are things in the creative license that aren't included or are kind of elaborated on, and we want to be grounded in the Word of God. But it will come alive to you in a really powerful way. And what we realize in looking at this story, Jesus went out of his way to go and speak to a woman who culturally he was not allowed to. And he came and revealed himself first to a person who wasn't a Jew, who was a woman in that time. And it's just an incredibly moving and powerful story. Like, I feel kind of brought to tears every time I listen to it. But it's an amazing story, and I would encourage you that he went out of his way to both listen to and speak with this person who was the wrong person. Go and check it out. Number four, Jesus asked the best questions. This relates again to the woman in John chapter 4. Now, Jesus has a, we can have a word of knowledge from God, which is, what is that? It's essentially something that we can't know without him. Many people have had this experience. Many people have had this experience with someone knowing something about them. And I hope that doesn't freak you out. It's actually supposed to speak to you. It's like God coming so close to you to show how much he cares for you that he would come and understand a small detail about your world that will speak to you, that you might hear what is being said to you about the good news of Jesus. And so this woman had a whole bunch of husbands, And Jesus asked the most profound questions. He asked her, "Where's your husband?" And it was a really important question, not because he wanted to criticize her, but because what he was doing was directing her to the essential problem of her life, to which he is the answer. It is not kind to just help someone see their problems and not be willing to help them, or to know who to point them to in the person of hope, the Prince of Peace, Jesus. All right, what are we up to? Five? Jesus listened to the hurting. Jesus, and you know, maybe that's one of the biggest challenges in our full and busy lives, is actually to listen to those who are hurting. Sometimes is really uncomfortable. It might make you feel sad, and it takes time. But that's what we're called to do. In Mark 1, 32 to 34, it gives this overview of Jesus' ministry in that moment. It says, "That evening after sunset, many sick and demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. The whole town gathered at the door to watch. So Jesus healed many people who were sick with various diseases, and he cast out many demons. But because the demons knew who he was, he did not allow them to speak." So in humility, it wasn't the time for everybody to know who Jesus was. But I mean, if I'm my house and the whole of Warrnambool arrives along the street, and everyone who comes in, I say, like a doctor would, "What ails you today?" And then I heal every one of them, which we would pray for and believe for, right? I'm pretty sure people are going to start asking questions or write some newspaper articles, right? It is going to inflame something. But Jesus listened to the hurting. He ministered to them. Number six, Jesus listened without interrupting. Hands up if you... No, I'm not going to ask. But sometimes it's hard enough in a conversation not to just want to say what you want to say. But when you know the thing that that person needs, it is so hard to just be quiet for a moment and listen and trust God in that. Jesus did this best, showing us what we should be doing, because he did it best when he listened to God. Mark 1:35, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went out to a solitary place where he prayed. So many people think that praying is just this: "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Please do that. Do you know that early Christians prayed that every morning and every night? They fasted a day a week. They gathered together with other believers and opened the Word of God and prayed morning and night. They broke bread together consistently. But prayer is also listening. And I want to invite you to be a person who listens to understand, not just for your turn to talk. Have you heard that before? Listen to understand, not just for your turn to talk. And I have to tell myself sometimes. Because you give me a microphone and up here and go, "Here, say stuff." And then afterwards I say, "Listen to what I say. Come and respond to this." And then we listen to you. And we listen to God about what he might want to say to you. And we believe that God will bring breakthrough in your life through the person of Jesus. That's what we're here gathering to do, to honor him, to celebrate him. Number seven, this is the last one of those points. Jesus listened to better understand. There is a progression of understanding, right? And a person who is a good mentor, as Jesus is the best, understands that you've got to help someone take steps that they could actually take. It is not like I want to take someone and just go, "You're here, and I really want you to be here, and I pray for that, but I can't force you to do that," right? And so we've got to be kind, we've got to be patient, we've got to trust God with the timing, and we listen to better understand. In John 3:3, this is, I don't know if you're newer to church, it's awesome to have you here. John 3:16 is, "For God so loved the world," right? Maybe you've heard that passage. He sent his only son that whoever would believe in him will not perish but have eternal life. And that quote, the words of Jesus, comes from a meeting between him and a religious leader. His name was Nicodemus. And again, there's a wonderful, profound and kind of heart-wrenching moment in the show, The Chosen, that shows this two men, God in Jesus and Nicodemus as a teacher over all of Israel, sitting there having this dialogue. And Jesus, in order to understand Nicodemus better, asks him a question, ascertaining his maturity. And that question is, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. And Nicodemus kind of grapples with what this means. And Jesus says, well, I can't tell you heavenly, more mature, more profound things if you're not even listening and understanding the earthly, simple, practical things that I'm saying. He's not doing that to judge and criticize. He's doing it to actually better understand and invite him in. And then we see, I think I talked about it in week one, we see Nicodemus at a crossroads where Jesus says, come and follow me. You know, let go of all the trappings of the world, come and follow me. And Nicodemus stands there literally against a wall and he can't give it up. And it is heartbreaking because he's this man just with tears running down his face, knowing that he wants to give up that stuff and gain Jesus, but he just can't let go. I've got 5 minutes. Is that 5 minutes like keep going or like good, you've only got five? Can I give you, so those were 7 points about how Jesus listened. And if they're all up there, I'll just read them again. Jesus listened to the perspective of others. He didn't listen just to criticize. He listened and spoke to the wrong people. He asked the best questions. He listened to the hurting. He listened without interrupting. And he listened to better understand. I just want to give you what I've called the ABCs of assisted listening. The ABCs of assisted listening. Because we can say a lot of things, but actually, how could we help someone hear? How could we help them listen? And hopefully I've just made them really simple and it's literally A, B, C. 1, 2, 3. All right, let's go. So I just thought about this. You know when someone says to you, you are welcome to join us versus you are invited. I invite you. I will come pick you up. Let's go to this thing that you're invited to. It is a totally different paradigm. I like, you don't have to put your hand up, but I have had someone say, oh, you are welcome to join us. And I was like, I will not be. Because it's kind of like, not really. Feel free, if you have some time, we've created a little bit of space for you and you're welcome to fill it. Nah. But if someone says, you are invited to this, I will come and help you be there. I think it changes things entirely. It is much more of an investment. It's much more proactive. It's much more useful, I would say, in encouraging someone into something. So instead of just welcome, what if people were invited? B, what have I got? Instead of just safe, what if people were protected? Because there are moments and there are people who don't just need, like they need to actually feel that you are actively doing things to protect them. And obviously we might think of like the very young and the very old and the vulnerable, but I would say, and I hope you know what I mean when I say this, there is a spectrum of vulnerability for people. And some people are just like, it doesn't take much to make them feel safe. But other people need to know you actually have stood in the gap to protect and are willing to stand in the gap to protect. And that might create an environment in which they will listen to what you say. Let me give you the caveat though. I at the same time totally believe that God has invited us to a risk adventure. Right? Because even just inviting someone means they could say no. And if you're a person who struggles with people pleasing or thinking that the amount of people who show up to your thing or the thing you're organizing means it was a success or not, you're really going to struggle with that. We have to have a kingdom heart before God that says, I will honor you, Lord, with what you've called me to do, whether it's 1, 100, 1,000, whatever it is, because the rest we entrust up to him. Cool? And see, truth, assisted listening, you have to present the truth. But how do you present it? Don't hear me changing what truth is, but we're actually called to present truth in a way that is truthfully loving and kind. Like the Apostle Paul actually says, if you don't have love, then you're literally, I'm going to do this again because I can. Do you know, have I done this? Do you remember me doing this? This is what you are if you have no love and only the truth. Should I stop? I've got everyone's attention, sorry. It should shock you. But there are too many people historically, and Christians are a part of this, where we're like, I have the truth. I'm so compelled and urgent to get it across to you, but I better be loving and kind as I do it. And this comes through our listening, through our growing understanding. It comes from the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, is faithful to complete the work begun in you. In Galatians 5, says that this would be growing in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, godliness, and self-control. We're growing in these things. So I want to land, and I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. Thanks for being here today. The kids have been amazing. We love having them in. So how do we do this? How do we do this? In John 15, we read this analogy that we are grafted through Jesus onto the vine. And apart from living in and out of him, we can do nothing. So how do we do it? We need Jesus' help first. If you want someone to listen to what you are saying, you need to know what you want to tell them, right? And that's what opening the Word of God and learning more about him and what Jesus has done. That's why if you've had those reading plans for Advent, what we want to do is help you understand the journey towards Jesus coming into the world and what it actually means, so that if you run into someone who is willing to listen to you, you would know what to say. I wonder, would you stand? We're going to sing in just a moment. Would you stand with me? I just want to wrap up by saying this. I have prayerfully been asking the question, all right, Lord, what would you want to say to me today? If I have in any way done some of the things I just talked about in a way that would mean that you are receptive, that you are ready to listen, and you might have been believing in God and knowing about Jesus for 50 to 70 years, or you might be hearing about him for the first time. You do not have to walk out of here without hope. Let me say it in a more proactive way. You can walk out of here with more peace, hope, life and freedom than you have ever known. And that's not actually you going, oh, I've got to make myself believe. It's actually going, all right, Lord, I surrender myself to you and I see what you have done in Jesus. Two very short passages, but very profound. Isaiah 9:6 says this, and it's often quoted at this time of year. For a child is born, let me say it like this, for a child has been born to you. A son has been given to and for you. And when you look at the world around you, whatever you feel about it, the reality is that it doesn't rest on the kingdoms of man. It rests on his shoulders. And what he is and what he does is in his names. He is a wonderful counselor. He is a mighty God. He is an everlasting father, and he is a prince of peace. And he wants to be that, yes, to the collective, but just to you. How amazing is that? And then Jesus himself said in Mark 1:15, "The time promised by God has come at last," he announced. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news." That word repent means we've been walking our own way with our own plan, with our own desires, and we realize, hang on, I'm actually being consumed by those things. I don't have hope. I don't have joy. I don't have life. And actually, Jesus came into the world to die so that through faith in him, you would be set free to live life to the full like you have never known. So let me just say to you before we sing, what's the context of this? What's the context of truth? Truth is that God made a perfect world and us in his image, and sin came into the world and ruined it. And the worst thing it did, above all the things that we see, all the evils, all the strife, all the war, all the injustice, the worst thing it did was actually wreck our relationship with the Father God of all creation. And that's what Jesus comes to restore. And simply by believing that he was born, that he lived, that he died on a cross to bear all your sin, past, present, and future for every one of us who will ever live, you will be saved. And so today when someone gets baptized, I encourage you, if you're saying right now, "I believe what you're saying," just in a moment, I'm going to stand down here. We have other people who are confidentially going to pray with you. But you know what? If you believe that, you can be baptized today. I will give you my jacket. I will give you a towel. We can make it happen. And in doing so, you would receive the best Christmas gift you possibly ever could, because it's God's gift to you. And so let me say, that's the context of truth. And there is a person of truth, and that is Jesus. We think of these ideas of truth and hope and peace as abstract, like they're things that float around in the air, and sometimes we feel them and sometimes we don't. But the reality is that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He is hope unfailing. He's the light and life of all mankind. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And the truth of your response to the person of truth is surrender, it's salvation, it's baptism, it's taking a step, even if you might be petrified to take it. Please hear what I'm saying. Come to forgiveness. Come to Jesus to be a new person in him, and come today into the kingdom of God. We're here for as long as it takes for you to respond to this as the team sings. Prayer team can come forward. Thank you, guys.
Truly, he taught us.